call in if you hear a phone number or tea times. Danielle is on vacation and we'll be back next week. Now, the best of the golf club.
And good morning to you. You are in the clubhouse. Glad to have you. It's a beautiful July 6th, and it's going to be a gorgeous day. Certainly in Hawaii, a little cloud cover this morning, and then it'll turn into like, oh, I don't know, 87, 90 degrees, depending on where you happen to be. We have a great show lineup for you. Hank Haney. He's instructed over 200 touring professionals from the PGA, the LPGA, the Champions Tour, the European, the Japanese, the Australian, the Asian tours, including world number one. He's scheduled to call in this morning. First, let us thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Creative Plumbing. Whether a high-rise, a shopping center, or store, townhouse, customer, single-family home, call Creative Plumbing. Your plumbing has got to be done right. Call Creative Plumbing, 841-2837. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. An outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. The Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem. Also, Star Protection. For property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California. Acura of Honolulu, where military appreciation never ends. Ask TJ about the military appreciation pricing and discount at 777 Ala Moana Boulevard. It's a great day to test drive an Acura of Honolulu. And Alert Alarm of Hawaii, providing closed-circuit television surveillance systems for both commercial and residential customers across Hawaii. Systems that can be monitored anywhere in the world on your laptop or smartphone. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, your Kama'aina video surveillance company.
And before we talk with Hank Haney, we're going to tell you about the EWGA. It is an organization, an international nonprofit. It's for women who'd like to learn, play, and enjoy the game for business and for the fun of it. And it's also for men. Yes, it's the EW, which stands for women, but it's also for men. And it's different from other golf organizations because you don't have to have a gin, for instance, to play. You don't have to be really, really serious about the competition to be a part of the organization. It was created by a woman who really wanted to get golf into her life because she realized that the people doing business in the world of golf, in the world period, are playing golf. And she was somehow missing out because she wasn't on the course spending 4 hours with somebody, hopefully 3.5 if it's 18 holes, and moving along, then going to the 19th hole, enjoying a few beverages, having something to eat. And she created this organization. We've got a chapter starting off here in Hawaii. I'm a part of it, I'm happy to say. And we've gotten together, had a lesson with Alan Ano over at Ko'olau, had a great time. And some of the women who were, you know, playing, they decided during the lesson, let's go play 9 holes. And it was about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They did twilight. It was a spur of the moment thing. The beauty about this organization is that gets women who aren't able to spend the kind of time it takes to be competitive. They get to have fun. They get to get together with women, like-minded women, women that you might never meet in any other organization. We all got together and had a really good time. So it's not just focused on playing golf. It's to help women take advantage of golf as a networking tool, the same way men do. Now, I'm going to try to get in touch with Mr. Haney, and in the meantime, we'll take this commercial break. Thanks.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
The beaten path is not for everyone. That's why the Acura MDX is designed just for you. With features like Jewel-Eye LED headlights that mimic natural sunlight, illuminating more of what lies ahead. Integrated dynamic system with three separate performance settings to meet your mood. One touch walk-in for simple one button access in and out of the third row. And available Acura Link surface street traffic information to keep you one step ahead of the herd. The Acura MDX. Maybe it's called the beaten path because it can be beaten. 3-year traffic subscription included. See your Acura dealer for system and coverage details.
Be sure to come visit your Hawaii Acura dealers and check out their latest models, cutting-edge features, and amazing deals. Visit your Hawaii Acura dealers today.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the golf club.
Hank Haney, swing coach to thousands, including at one time Tiger Woods, the number one player in the world, founder of Hank Haney Golf with golf training facilities in Texas, founder of the Hank Haney International Junior Golf Academy with the Asia Academy open now as well, contributor to Golf Digest magazine for over 25 years, monthly articles, and of course he's the author of The Big Miss, My Years Coaching Tiger Woods, Essentials of the Swing, The Only Golf Lesson You'll Ever Need, No More Bad Shots, and Fix Your Yips Forever. He's also host of Golf Channel's The Haney Project. Really glad to have him on the show. Welcome in the clubhouse, Hank Haney.
Great. Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate that nice introduction.
It's absolutely my pleasure. And after I looked at all your accomplishments, I thought to myself, okay, Mr. Haney's 57 years old, a dad. You have a three-month-old now?
Well, I do. My first child and my wife, Suzanne, and I, and Henry Hudson Haney, and we're very, very excited. I've got one more student to go.
Yeah, one more. Okay, that was my question is, what are your goals after having accomplished so much?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, golf's been so great to me. So, I'm just enjoying what I'm doing now. I do a lot of golf clinics for different companies and events and charity events. And obviously my show, The Haney Project, has been fun. And then, you know, just training teachers to teach. So my career's taken a little different path after, you know, 30 years of teaching touring pros. I'm now just, you know, helping the average player try to enjoy the game more. And last year I gave clinics for over 15,000 people, so that was a lot of fun. And now I've got one more student. My young son, when he's old enough to hit, we'll start, and that'll be fun.
Okay, he's 3 months old. When was your, like, he'll probably want to start playing with golf balls, you know, when he starts walking, crawling around. And if he turns away from golf, if he's not interested, what would you do?
Well, I mean, that'll be fine, too. But I doubt if that'll be the case because his mom plays and I play.
Cool.
You know, he'll want to be out there. But, everybody on Twitter sends me pictures of their kids hitting plastic golf balls when they're like one and two, so I'm sure we're going to get an early start. I can't wait till he starts swinging at something. It'll be fun to watch.
I started reading The Big Miss, and we're going to talk much more about it, but before we do, I thought it was interesting. What does The Big Miss mean in professional golf?
Well, I mean, it's really, you know, golf jargon for the big miss tee shot, the bad miss, the shot that costs you a shot or two shots with a penalty shot. It's a big miss putt, a big miss opportunity to win a tournament, to, you know, win a major, to, you know, you know, close out a match. You know, so it's got multiple meanings, and that was why we picked it as the title of the book. Thought it was appropriate.
Okay, and that's what I want to ask you. When I was reading, I realized what it meant in golf jargon on the tour. But why did you choose it to be a book about working with Tiger Woods all those years? The big miss. It sounds like, did you miss something with him?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I think missed opportunities that Tiger had to win more tournaments, to win more majors. To, you know, maybe there's a missed opportunity. Obviously, there was a missed opportunity when he had his scandal. I mean, I'm sure that's, you know, something that he would consider to be a big miss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the golf wise, but also just as a, you know, being able to influence people in a positive way. I think you know that there was certainly a little bit of a miss there. Obviously, his image took a hit, and then, you know, the missed opportunity to have a better relationship, maybe a longer relationship, whatever. But you know, I mean, it was so much fun for me to write that book, because I just, you know, I wanted to recall my memories, and I had a great, great 6 years helping Tiger. I mean, it was just absolutely incredible opportunity for any coach to have an opportunity like that. It was just unbelievable. And then, you know, when it's all said and done, it was such a great opportunity, but 6 years was a long time, and I would never look back and say it was anything but great, plenty
long
enough, you know?
Yeah, it's when I'm reading the book, it's obvious that you enjoyed your time with him. At the same time, I could see that because of his demeanor, he is who he is, and he's a closed person, and people are who they are. You can't change them. It would be, I would imagine, for myself, if I were working with somebody and trying to develop a real, like, when can I step in and help out relationship, it'd be kind of trying after a while. I'd find that very difficult on the psyche, not being able to have a friendship with somebody that I really want to impart and help perfect something with. And they're obviously, Tiger Woods, driven to perfect something, it seems. Then the question I asked, as you do in the book, is Tiger Woods tired of being Tiger Woods at the level that it takes to be perfect?
Certain extent, because when you have to deal with everything that he's dealt with for a long time, I mean, he's an old 37. He's been doing this for a long time, dealing with the media for a long time, dealing with high expectations for a long time. You know, everyone always recognizing you, everyone expecting you to do something, hoping you're going to do something. It's just, there's a lot of expectations, and it's not easy to be, you know, a great, great superstar. I mean, a lot of people see all the great things like that, but it's not easy to do it, and it's not easy to be that person. So I'm sure that with any person that is in the media's eye and in the public eye and is an incredible achiever, there are probably times when they think, wow, you know, I mean, just for a minute I'd like to, you know, not have all these expectations on me, but you know, then again, that is why they're great. They can handle it, and they can press on through the tough times.
You said that Tiger Woods isn't preparing for majors as hard as he could. That was an interesting comment after watching him in the U.S. Open, of course. What do you mean he's not preparing as hard as he could?
Well, I mean, the Marion tournament was a tough one, because the week before, Tiger, you know, is traditionally at home in Florida, and there was a tropical storm came through. So that wiped out at least, you know, at least 2 or 2.5 days of possible good practice. You know, it's one thing to maybe hit a few balls inside. It's another thing to go out on the golf course and play and really prepare. So that week prior would not have been what it could have been or in my mind should have been. And then they went to Marion, and then, you know, they had rain on Monday. They had rain on Tuesday. And my guess is there, he probably played a total of 18 holes, you know, total the week before the tournament, or the 4 days before the tournament. So it's you know, there's not enough preparation there to really, in my mind, get Tiger to where he needs to be. He really, really likes to prepare.
Yeah.
I always thought, you know, he could do more. And his putting has been an issue. And one thing that I've noticed over the years when being with Tiger was he just didn't practice putting at the tournament sites as much as other players did. I mean, take Phil Mickelson, for example, and I mean, I'd be at the Masters or the U.S. Open or whatever, and I'd watch how many putts Phil Mickelson hit. And he in the course of practice for a week, he'd practice so much, he might hit 750 putts. But in that same amount of time, Tiger might hit 100.
Wow.
And it's just a big, big difference in the amount of time put in. Mickelson would do all kinds of putting drills. And just to use him as an example, because other players, do a lot more too. But then when I would see Tiger really prepare and practice, like one year for the British Open at St. Andrews, he practiced his putting and practiced and practiced and practiced, and he just putted phenomenal. And I always saw the correlation between the amount of time that he put in preparing and then the results that would come after that.
Do you think he'll win another major? Do you think, he's been winning this season. He hurt his elbow. Do you think he's going to be, I hate this word, back?
No, I think he's going to win a major, no doubt about it. I mean, I think he's going to win every tournament he plays in because he's still clearly the best player. But having said that, I mean, it's not easy to win majors. It's tough, and there's a lot of competition. There's more competition now than ever. You have to be fortunate. You have to get good breaks. I mean, he got a terrible break at Augusta. I think he arguably would have won the Masters this year. So you have to get lucky. You have to play great golf. You have to time it for one of the 4 weeks. And you've got all this other competition. And there's probably 100 guys now that if they have the round of their life or the week of their life, if you will, then, you know, they're going to be very difficult to beat. So I think, I think it's hard. But he's going to win another major. There's no doubt about it.
I'm going to ask you a question. We're then going to take a break and come back. I'd like to ask you about NB, her accomplishment, the 3 consecutive major wins in the season, and somehow how little we're talking about it. You know, if this were on the men's tour, it'd be like the second, it'd be Tiger Woods.
Right,
going
exactly.
For the 4th Grand Slam and all that. But one question that still bugs me about the Tiger Woods situation. Did nobody really know what he was doing before he busted himself?
Very, very few people knew, and the ones that didn't know are the ones that probably would have said something. So
yeah,
Steve Williams didn't know, I didn't know, and I'm not positive as to how many people knew or exactly what they did know, but I know that Steve and I didn't know and we were two people that definitely would have said something to him.
Yeah.
But that's just that people that do things like that and are carry things on like that, they're very good at it and they hide things very well. So
you got it. I mean, that's addiction, and you talk about in your book very well about addiction and issues that people have. I really recommend that you read this book, The Big Miss. And we're going to talk about Indy Park, Slow Pay, Top Golf. I think we might need a Top Golf in Hawaii. I'm hearing more and more about it and about the Haney Project and about how often we should take lessons, a beginner or someone who wants to really become competitive. If you wouldn't mind, we'll get into some of that too. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
We'll be right back to the best of The Golf Club.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism now affects 1 in 88 children in the United States. Early diagnosis for autism makes all the difference. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please join me at the Els for Autism Golf Challenge this year. We are playing great courses throughout the United States. Fundraise $13,000 or more, and you can join me and some of my friends at the finale in Las Vegas. Thank you very much.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Alert Alarm of Hawaii provides CCT surveillance systems for both commercial and residential customers across Hawaii. These systems can be monitored via the internet from anywhere in the world on your laptop or smartphone. We can also monitor your video systems for you from our 24-hour local 5-Diamond Alarm Monitoring Center. Call Alert Alarm at 528-6407 for a free security evaluation and estimate. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, your Kama'aina video surveillance company. Security solutions for your peace of mind.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Oh, man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh, man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome back. We have the great good fortune to have Hank Haney, swing coach to 200-plus professional golfers, in the studio with us, so to speak. He's calling in over the phone, of course. Mr. Haney, when you teach men and you teach women, you've taught LPGA players, of course, professional players, Tiger Woods. Is there a different way that you approach the teaching process with women than men?
Not really, to be honest with you. I mean, obviously, women have different characteristics in terms of their swings that you see in terms of mistakes and obstacles. One is that ladies are inherently more flexible than men. Another is that they have a lower center of gravity, so with wider hips and narrower shoulders, and you know, that is a little different. But in terms of the mistakes that they make, it's no different. I mean, the golf swing is the golf swing, and when I, you know, was teaching, whether it be a male professional or a female professional, I would teach them all the same, to be honest with you.
You know, I have the hardest time with my left arm. Trying to get it straight.
Well, I mean, that's an issue. But then again, I mean, you know, there's been great players that have had their left arm a little bent.
Okay.
You know, as long as it straightens in the downswing, and usually it does, because just the vertical force, I mean, kind of makes it straighten out. It might not be the biggest thing that people have to worry about.
I just thought I'd throw that in there for myself. Okay. You on Twitter, you need to follow Hank Haney on Twitter, because there are times when he makes himself available to people and he solves little things, just like that little question, and he can give you the simplest of answer. And sir, I have to tell you, you know, you talk about the physics of the swing and the one plane, and it gets very, very complicated for someone like a recreational golfer. When I watch you, I see photographs of you teaching people, or I hear accounts of you teaching people. You make it very simple. And when I watch the Haney Project, you don't talk to these people, you know, like Rush Limbaugh and Michael Phelps and Ray Romano and Charles Barkley and Adam Levine and Sugar Ray Leonard. I don't see you doing this, the breakdown.
Right.
So there is a simple way to teach, right?
Well, I think so. I mean, some people think anything's complicated, and then other people like complicated, and some people, you know, want it somewhere in between. But the thing is, you know, my teaching has always gravitated more towards trying to be simpler and more easy to understand. And, you know, the most popular tips always forever in Golf Digest magazine have been the one-page tips. I mean, that's just what people like. They like simple and easy to understand. And as a general rule, I mean, that's the way that I try to keep it and make it so that, you know, people at any level can grasp what you're saying. A lot of times, you know, teachers like to hear themselves talk, so they complicate things a lot, and it makes them sound more knowledgeable. But I think if you make it simpler, for most people, it's a lot easier.
So how often do you suggest that someone get a lesson if they want to go out and have fun every couple of weeks?
Well, I mean, I think you want to take lessons on a regular basis. So whatever that would mean to you, but I would space them out you know, based on what your commitment is. So if you're going to take two lessons a year, take one every 6 months. If you're going to take four lessons a year, take one every 3 months. But, you know, don't take four lessons 4 weeks in a row and then don't take another lesson the rest of the year. You know, space them out in between. And I think, you know, even for somebody that's really, really into it, I think once a month is fine for a lesson, but it just kind of keeps you on track and hopefully keeps you progressing and getting better.
Yeah, and then practice, of course, is important.
Well, I mean, you know, no doubt about it. I mean, that is, and you know, a lot of people leave that part out.
Yeah, well, you were saying, you know, if you go and take a lesson for somebody and then you don't practice, you don't take that information and apply it to your game and practice it because the coach can't be with you all the time. And you can't blame the teacher if you're not trying to put it into practice.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be committed to what you're doing. You have to focus on what you're doing. And I always tell people, I mean, you have to have a plan. Most people just go out and hit balls. They don't really have a plan. They're really exercising. I mean, they're not really practicing. So if you want to get better, you have to have a plan. In order to make that plan, you have to be able to diagnose. And once you diagnose what somebody's problems are, then you can make a plan to fix it, and then you're going to get better.
We're talking with Hank Haney, swing coach to 200-plus professional golfers and author, of course, and he has his own television show, The Hank Haney Project. He has the Hank Haney International Junior Golf Academy. He is a very busy man because he has a 3-month-old son. And that's probably just, you know, that's where I'd like to be right now at 57, have a 3-month-old and have all of that done in the back of my, be nicely established. Hey, who needs goals? I'm going to just have fun with my baby.
I got to be honest with you. I'm kind of thinking the same thing. It's been very nice.
Now, what about NB Park? This major accomplishment. Babe Zaharias did this. I mean, yeah. Babe Zaharias to me is the premier female athlete. I don't know of any other woman who went from one sport to another the way she could and accomplished so much and came back from so much to continue to accomplish. NB Park, now 3 consecutive major wins, going for the Grand Slam, some say, some of course with the Evian, right? I mean, of all years for this to happen in women's golf, what do you think of her accomplishment?
No, I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable. And you bring up, you know, a great point. I mean, there isn't that much that's being said about it. It's just incredible that anybody could, you know, win 3 majors in a row. As difficult as it is to just win one. But, you know, women's golf obviously doesn't get the publicity that the men do. And especially with the fact that, you know, there's just so many players from all over the world, and it's really a world tour now. So you know, that kind of makes it difficult to promote the sport, you know, and especially in the United States.
Yes.
I mean, let's face it. I mean, if you know, it was an American-born player that, you know, had won 3 majors in a row, then it might be different. But women's golf, you know, for sure, it doesn't get the attention that the men do. But these accomplishments are absolutely incredible.
Absolutely incredible. When she goes back to Korea, and she's going to go before she goes to the British Women's Open, they're going to just receive her like a hero.
Well, that's for sure.
Yeah, and that's something that we don't see. You know, I say that as U.S., where it's very centric.
we tend to
look only at what's happening in the U.S. But whenever women from around the world win on the LPGA Tour, they are heralded as heroes when they come home, and they have thousands of people waiting for them at the airport, and everywhere they go, they're just, the accolades follow. So it's exciting to see what she's accomplished and what she can. When you're watching Rory McIlroy, okay, is Rory McIlroy the next Tiger Woods or the next Phil Mickelson?
Oh, I mean, I don't think there's going to be another Tiger Woods. I mean, Tiger's just so absolutely incredible. His record is incredible. I mean, you know, the 6 years I helped Tiger, I mean, he won 45% of his tournaments. He's over 30%, I think, for his career. You know, just to put that in perspective, Jack Nicklaus won 12% of his tournament. So you're just talking about someone that's on a level that I don't think we've ever seen or we will ever see again. You know, I think Rory McIlroy is an incredibly good player, and he's not having a very good year this year. But you know, in my mind, I mean, he's not to be confused for Tiger Woods. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, Rory at his best isn't incredible. And I think, you know, we saw that last year, that Rory at his best right now is probably, you know, better than anybody at his best, including Tiger. But the difference is the consistency and doing it over a long period of time and, you know, winning all these tournaments and, you know, not to mention 14 majors. I mean, you know, a player wins one major, and they, like Rory did, they win it by a lot of shots. Everybody thinks, oh, he's going to win all these majors. And then they win another one. But you know what? That's a long way from 14 of them. Yeah. And 14 is a long way from 18 of them. So it's not easy.
So what do you think with Rory? Is it just that he's having an off year? He just lost his – is it his equipment? Is it – what's going on with him?
I think it's all the above. I think it's changing equipment. I think it's expectations are really high, mm-hmm. and they're hard to live up to. I think statistically, you know, if you analyze this game – his greens and regulation, his putting statistics, all you analyze all his statistics, and there isn't anything that would make you think that he's going to dominate. You know, you analyze Tiger's statistics, and he's always been one of the best putters. He has great short game statistics, and you know, for most years, and he's not up there now, but you know, Tiger's about 35th in greens and regulation, but. You know, for most years that I helped him and for most years that Butch Harmon helped him, he was number one in greens regulation. So when you put those statistics together and then for years and years and years, Tiger was top 10 in driving distance. And you put those statistics together and you think, wow, that's just somebody that could dominate. Rory McIlroy doesn't have those statistics that lead you to believe that.
Yeah.
He has great wins, but great wins, you know, is one thing. And consistently doing it and you know, being number one statistically is something totally different.
Hank Caney's a member of the advisory staffs for Golf Digest, for Pure Grips, for Crocs, for Golfsmith Stores, for Sky Caddy, for Omega Watches, and for TaylorMade Golf. Let's give away right now some rocket balls, TaylorMade.
All right.
Yeah, exactly. 808-296-5467. That's 808-296-5467. And the ninth caller is going to win. All right, let's kind of switch it up a little bit here, and we want to grow the game, and doing that might help by speeding up the game, but we watch women's golf, for instance, and I'm shocked that we're doing when we're young, when we're doing five-hour rounds, and it's...
Well, they were 5 hours at the men's, too. I mean, it's not just the women. I mean,
I'm glad you said that, sir.
You know, you bring up a good point, and I don't understand how the USGA can have commercials like that and tell everybody to play faster, but we're going to play so slow. I mean, to me, golf is never going to speed up until the, you know, professional players, and meaning the LPGA and the PGA Tour, set an example. And really, it'd only take one of them, because if the women would play in 4 hours, then you know, the men would be spurred on to play in 4 hours, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
But or, you know, the USGA could take the lead and say, okay, all the U.S. Open is going to play in, you know, 3 hours and 50 minutes. I mean,
yeah,
after all, they're playing threesomes and twosomes.
Yeah, they could do it, too, with that time box that they have to meet.
Sure.
Right. I mean, if they put that in play for the big opens, but then they say, well, no, this is where we really test the game, and so it's going to be longer. And that's just like, wait a minute. They have to be able to do it and do it fast. That's all I've got to say.
Well, they just had to come up with something to say when they knew it was going to take too long, so that was the best thing they could come up with. But that's just the way it is. But you know, I mean, you're right. I mean, we got to play faster. The one thing about golf, I mean, if golf was invented, you know, last year, it wouldn't be an 18-hole game. It'd be a 12-hole game where it didn't take so long, and we didn't use as much land, and we didn't use as much water, and it was easier to build golf courses, and you know, it was a 2.5-hour game, but you know, it's 18 holes, and somehow we got to figure out a way to speed up.
And people don't want to play nine, which is very strange to me. The time for nine was a really good idea, but I get so much pushback on the whole concept of just nine holes. But what seems to be really catching on, and I noticed on Twitter that you had fun at Top Golf.
Oh yeah, I mean it's amazing. I mean, and the great thing about it is that there's so many people that aren't really golfers that are there. I mean, they're the beginners. I mean, there are people that are just getting introduced to the game, and you know, you hit, and there's these targets out there, and you know, Topgolf has, you know, two or three levels that you can hit from. So people on the second level and the third level are guaranteed to get the ball airborne because all they have to do is just roll it off the edge. But they think, you know, they enjoy it, and it introduces them to the game. It's like the introduction to the game of golf has always been miniature golf. Well, now, you know, it's top golf too. And it's just, you know, we were there last night, my wife's birthday, and at Top Golf, and it was just like, the place was packed, and there's just so many people there, enjoying the game. You think, wow, this would be a great way to grow the game, and it doesn't take that long.
No, it's great. You can go for dinner, you know, and play. It's kind of like going to a fancy bowling alley.
Well, that's kind of how they score it. No, your scores come up on the screen, and you get the balls all have chips in them, so you hit it into this target, and it knows exactly that it was, you know, you hitting, and it went into that target, and you get X amount of points for, you know, how far the target is out there and how close you got it to the center, and it's kind of scored a different way, but it's just really enjoyable, and people are having just a lot of fun, and it's great to see the game of golf, you know, kind of being promoted that way.
Excellent. So we've had Charles Barkley, Ray Romano, Rush Limbaugh, Michael Phelps, the foursome of Adam Levine, Sugar Ray Leonard, Angie Everhart, and Mario Batali, the chef. Who's next on the Haney Project?
Oh, I mean, well, I don't know. We're working on that.
But, okay.
It's been a lot of fun, I'll tell you that much. I mean, it's absolutely, you know, been incredible. And I've had just so many great experiences and just had so much fun, you know, being with all those great, you know, achievers.
I loved watching Michael Phelps school you on, you know, getting more involved in swimming. You're going to have to apply yourself, Coach.
Oh, well, I mean, I appreciate that. I mean, that was a thrill for me. I mean, to be able to you know, get in the pool with Michael and have him give me some swimming tips, I mean, that was like, I'm like, wow, I'm pinching myself.
As is he, that he gets to learn golf from you.
Yeah.
And it's great talking with you. Hank Haney, it's a real pleasure, real pleasure starting my Saturday with you. Thanks a lot.
Wow, thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I hope we'll talk again.
Okay, thank you.
Aloha. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Now, the best of the Golf Club.
Got a great show for you today. Brandel Chambly, PGA Tour Golf Channel Golf Analyst, is going to be with us. But first, we have to thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Creative Plumbing. Whether a high-rise, a shopping center, or store, townhouse, customer, single-family home, call Creative Plumbing. Your plumbing has got to be done right. Call Creative Plumbing, 841-2837. Hoipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. An outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. The Hoipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem. Also, Star Protection. For property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California. Acura of Honolulu, where military appreciation never ends. Ask TJ about the military appreciation pricing and discount at 777 Onamoana Boulevard. It's a great day to test drive an Acura of Honolulu. And Alert Alarm of Hawaii, providing closed-circuit television surveillance systems for both commercial and residential customers across Hawaii. Systems that can be monitored anywhere in the world on your laptop or smartphone. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, your Kama'aina video surveillance company.
Randall Chamblee, PGA Tour Golf Channel analyst. He turned pro in 1985. He attended the University of Texas All-American. Randall was, well, he has one PGA Tour victory. He shared a first-round lead at the Masters in 1999, and for six straight years, he was among the top 100 on the PGA Tour money list. He lost his tour card in 2003, and since then, he's worked as an analyst for Golf Channel. He's been there. He's done that. He's been on the course. He understands competition. He understands the stress of it. Welcome to the show, Randall Chamblee.
Ah, pleasure for me to join you there, and I must say that I'm a little jealous of your locale. I love Hawaii. I miss it. I'm looking forward to getting back there for the Tournament of Champions in just a few weeks.
In just a few weeks. It's the Hyundai Tournament of Champions, and we're really excited. It's going to be a great field this year. I got to ask you before I talk to you about swing analysis and some of the things that may be coming up. I need to talk to you about something I've learned about. What convinced you that it was time to end your career as a professional golfer? So many guys just keep trying and keep trying. You just stopped and went right into the second part of your life career.
Well, there were a couple things that factored into it, but mostly it was family and just wanting to be home. And I loved golf, don't get me wrong. I loved it, and I still eat, breathe, and sleep it. But just being gone almost every single week of every year and then coming home and never being able to turn it off, there really was no off-season then. There's no off-season now. And it may look like I work a lot when I'm on television, but I'm really off about half the year or even more. And when I'm off, I'm home. I have three kids, and I'm busy with them, and I was busy with them then. But I just hated being on the road all of the time.
Excellent reason. I can't think of a better one. You know, when it comes to swing analysis, you are able to drill down and find the weaknesses. And my question to you next was, have you thought of being a swing coach or coaching in general?
I have great respect for people who are able to find the root of a problem and then in a very short matter of time, correct that. Butch Harmon is really just a genius when I look at what he's done. And there are a number of great teachers out there, but I have no experience at teaching. I have a lot of experience at looking at golf swings, figuring out what the commonalities are of the best players, and enjoying them. I have a passion for that. I always have. But it is another thing altogether to teach. And having never done it, I have a great respect for it, but no, I have no plans. So I am writing a book right now, which will be out next year, about the commonalities of the greatest players of all time, and it's a fascinating journey for me. I mean, I'm not writing the book so much to give my opinion as to discover my opinion, and in the process of writing this book, it's been enlightening.
I bet it has. I you know, when I listen to you, I'm like, yeah, right. Absolutely. And then one day I remember watching, and I do watch a lot of Golf Channel, you were sitting next to Frank Novello, who's been on the show, and I see him over at the Hyundai Tournament of Champions, you know, getting coffee in the morning. And you guys got into quite a heated discussion. He didn't quite agree with your analysis. And I was watching. It was fascinating to see you two debate.
Well, he and I have been at it for about, you know, 10 years in television. And when I played the tour for a living, he was one of my favorite people to play golf with. He and Colin Montgomery, actually. And it's funny, I work with both of them now because I enjoyed their thoughts. But Frank and I are really like an old married couple. We argue all the time. But we have tremendous respect for each other. I know that Frank, whatever side he's going to argue, is going to be well thought out. It's going to be passionate. And it's going to make sense to me. And a lot of the times I sit there and he starts talking, I think, I hadn't thought of it that way.
Yes.
And he enlightened me. But in this particular instance, he was very passionate about one side of the argument. I was very passionate about the other side. And it was 10 minutes of television, and it was fun.
It was.
You know, a lot of people thought that, you know, we were going to go to blows, but you know, we had drinks later on that week. So I was arguing about, specifically, about Tiger's golf swing and the damage it was doing to his body. And Frank's point was that his body was causing the poor golf swing. So we were arguing two sides of an issue. Obviously, I thought I was right, and he thinks he's right.
But it was almost the same thing in a way, because I think his swing did hurt his body, because the torque on the spine and those delicate in between every one of our, you know, bones, there's the juice that keeps it all together,
right,
you know,
right.
And you're just, that torque is always squeezing it out, this synovial
right.
fluid, you know, and that, in that damage, that changes your swing. So I'm like, okay, it was just interesting seeing those, you two talk mm-hmm. about that. And I was really lucky. Every 2 years we have here in Hawaii, the Aloha section puts together a biennial conference. And we have the pleasure of getting speakers come to the conference that, you know, probably Susie Whaley was here.
Yeah.
And Gary McCord was here. And Gary had discovered something that he said would revolutionize teaching. Now, somebody just a few minutes ago, so I am absolutely walking into this completely blind. He said, you have to ask Brandel about Tathara golf. And I'm like, uh-oh, what's that?
well, it is a very, it is a wonderful way to talk about golf. In a different way. If you're one of those people who's a little more open-minded, you know, the actual motion of the golf swing is similar to so many other motions in sport. It's not unique to golf. And there is a man by the name of Brian Hepler here in Scottsdale who links it to strike force mentality of Eastern philosophy. And he has created a driving range with all of these stations around it that have very much to do with yoga and various art forms of martial arts. And he just links the whole motion from the backswing, you know, from the setup to the backswing to the downswing and to impact as martial arts, so to speak. But he links it with all these great players of all time. And he makes wonderful arguments, and I agree with when I walked into his studio, I was like, this is exactly what I've been thinking and saying and talking about forever, and you've done great research on it, you're doing it in a different way, and it's just, the program's just getting put together, and actually it'll be out this year, and it'll create quite a buzz in the game of golf, it will.
I went to the website, which is, of course, is under construction, and it says you have to scroll all the way down, it's tathata.com. And it says, we're building something special here. Stay tuned for all the new Tathara.com, for the all-new Tathara.com. For more information, and TatharaGolf.com, I keep going there, and it swings me back to this page. So everything is under construction, and I'm looking forward to finding out more because, you know, Hawaii and many places have the Eastern roots, and
yeah.
They're very comfortable with the martial arts, which are they're not fighting form. They're exercise. They're Zen. They're meditative.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, I'll give you just one example. So in the last 10 years, well, it's been going on for much longer than that. But in the last 10 years, the game has come to a fevered pitch on the topics of lag and forward shaft lean. And this was a little bit of what Frank and I were arguing about. And I couldn't disagree with this more vehemently. You don't force lag. It happens as a natural consequence of proper movement. But if you try to, if you get all these great athletes and you tell them lag is important, and it becomes a central theme of their golf swing, well, they're good enough and they work at it long enough that they can carry that angle deep into the downswing and get their hands well in front of the golf ball and create what everybody calls lag. To me, it's just a very inefficient way to hit a golf ball, in particular when you get to longer clubs with less loft, you lose the ability to, to get the ball in the air and to flight it the way you would want, and your closure rate is just awful, and then you have to lean back and it hurts your back. Well, Tata golf is a method, and literally it's based on the commonalities of the greatest players and martial arts going all the way back, where it just explains that lag just happens as a natural consequence of moving your body properly. And actually, to get lag, you almost feel like you are throwing the club at the golf ball. You almost feel like you are as you move your weight to your left side, which was consistent with what Jack Nicklaus said when he wrote about driving the golf ball, that he felt like he threw the club head at the golf ball. Ben Hogan had similar comments. Greg Norman had similar comments. So none of these players tried to create lag. It would have been a death penalty. It would have been the death sentence to their golf swing. I mean, they would have been awful. You'd have never heard of these guys if they would have been trying to create lag. They transfer their weight, and literally they feel like they throw the club at the golf ball. In the process of transferring your weight properly, you create a lot of lag, but you don't think about it.
That's a true extension of your arm, your hand, to the ball. I mean, when you talk about throwing your club head at the ball, it's like extending everything down as you would. Then it becomes a natural feel. I like that.
Yeah. Now, most amateurs, if you tell them to throw the club at the ball, of course, they haven't transferred their weight off their right side if they're a right-handed golfer. And so, obviously, they're going to get the club outside the line on the way down, and they're not going to do anything. But I mean, first and foremost, is it goes in sequence. But if you've made a proper backswing and you transfer your weight, if there's a lateral slide of your weight, your hip, and your left side, into your left side, you almost can't release the club too quickly. I mean, it's impossible for somebody to release the club where their hands would be behind the ball at impact. And that's how important weight shift is. And so at odds, not only with lag, but at odds with belief that you should set up with your weight centered to the left or stacked on the left side and keep it there, which is not at all consistent with any martial arts move in the history of martial arts or any of the commonalities of the great players. But again, it's gotten a bit of a foothold on the in some levels on the tour, to the detriment of those players too, by the way.
I think it's interesting that some people just are able to swing a club and it's a natural feeling for them. Even though it's not natural, it's somehow, if we think too much about doing all these things, it's impossible to actually play and enjoy the game.
It is, and you don't need to think about it. You really don't. I mean, all this information that people are digging up is great for them because they can carry on a debate and nobody really knows what they're talking about. To the average golfer, it's not important. Not important at all. They don't need to know that. They don't need to hear it. You need to be taught how to grip the club. You need to be taught how to line up and address the golf ball. And then a few other things after that. In general, you have to be able to transfer your weight to your back foot and make a pivot, and then transfer your weight to your forward foot and make a pivot. And if you've got a good grip and a good stance, you're off and running. You've done everything you need to do to go enjoy the game for the rest of your life. And it doesn't need to be much more complicated than that to the average player.
Excellent. I need to take care of our sponsors who allow me to talk with you for another 14 minutes. So we're going to continue with Brandel Chamblee, PGA Tour and Golf Channel analyst, right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
The all-new 2015 Acura TLX with integrated dynamic system was engineered with four distinct drive modes that adapt to your every mood. Switch from fuel-saving econ to normal mode. Its responsive personality means the TLX is as thrilling as you make it. Now switch to sport mode. It offers quicker response and more agility. It also enhances the natural sound of the engine. And with the world's first 8-speed dual-clutch transmission with torque converter, it will respond instinctively to your will with rapid and smooth shifts. And in Sport Plus mode, the harder you drive, the more dynamic the TLX feels as it taps its full performance potential. So, come in and test drive the all-new 2015 Acura TLX with Sport Plus mode. It's that kind of thrill.
Be sure to come visit your Hawaii Acura dealers and check out their latest models, cutting-edge features, and amazing deals. Visit your Hawaii Acura dealers today.
Work the ball, play more break, be aggressive. Wow! 6 feet past the cup. What was I thinking? Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome back. You know, if you're looking for a gift, gift hunting at Poipu Bay Golf Course is a really good idea. They have a table with Adidas, Link Soul, Ashworth, ahead, 40% off. Brendel Chambly is joining us this morning, PGA Tour and Golf Channel analyst, and we're talking about the swing, of course, because that's what he does so well. But I want to talk to you. I put it out on Twitter, a question. I said, is there a question you'd like me to ask Brendel? And one of them was, and I thought it was interesting, because I think of the prototype professionals. There's so many people who are almost looking like the same body. They say it's the perfect golf body. The prototype professional golfer becomes more athletic, as this happens. Will that accelerate a trend of younger winners? That was a question. So I was talking with a physio yesterday who asked me if being in the gym is critical in today's game to get to the trophy stand. You know, and I was wondering, Brendel, when there's so many guys who are in the gym, but then there's Brad Fritz, I think. I can't remember how to pronounce his name correctly. He just has medaled at the web.com, you know, medalist there, way under par, and he's much heavier. He's like a Craig Stadler kind of form.
Right.
Right? Well, what gives?
Yes. And then there's Bubba Watson, who probably has never been in a gym in his life, and his forearms are about as big around as a number two pencil. And he's the longest hitter on the PGA Tour. And he's the longest hitter on the PGA Tour and really one of the best ball strikers on the PGA Tour, much overlooked talent in that regard, without ever having a lesson, without ever going to the gym. So, you know, the question is, does the gym make a better golfer? You know, I don't know. I look at all these videos online, and I look at these kids, and I play a lot of golf with these young kids that can swing a six iron up to 110 miles an hour. I mean, a six iron, I see it.
Wow.
But, you know, I don't see that translating to better golf. If you look and go back, let's just go back to the year 2000. So in the last 14 years, the scoring average haven't moved one tenth of one stroke, not even all the way through the scoring average. It's down to 125th man. So, you know, it's not having an appreciable effect on the scoring averages at this point.
Sorry, go ahead.
But I was just going to say that the average age of a tour winner from 2003 to 2007 was 35 years old. And the average age of a major winner going all the way back to 1960 is 32 years old. So, you know, the trends are not necessary. There's an outlier here or there. There's a Vijay Singh occasionally, and there's a Jordan Spieth occasionally. But by and large, the age with which a golfer finds his prime is 26 to 35. And now, in the last 20 years, what has happened, though, the top 100 golfers, the average age has come down from 35 to 32 years. And in 1994, there were only two players under the age of 25 in the top 100 in the world. And now then there's 10. And there's three of them in the top 10. That's, you know, Ricky Fowler, Rory McIlroy, and Jordan Spieth. So, you know, the game, I think guys are getting a better technique. I don't know that fitness is playing a huge part in that, but maybe it's playing a little part in it. But still, I think experience matters as much as it ever has in this game. But yes, the average age is getting a little bit younger on the PGA Tour.
So it's interesting. I thought when you said the scoring average hasn't changed, we see 63s and 65s and 66s. They seem to be just coming so low. But I guess by the same token, then they're like Rory McIlroy will shoot a 63 and then a 72, which,
you know,
blows my mind.
I think when we you know, we all are guilty of it. You know, we bestow originality on whatever's present, whatever most recently happened. We do that, and I hear all the time that Rory McIlroy, you know, for Tiger to come back because the players are so much better than they were 15 years ago. Well, Rory McIlroy's scoring average last year, 2014, he won two majors, was 69.27. When Tiger, and that's his actual scoring average, not the adjusted. The adjusted, to me, it's a little silly, but the actual scoring average. Tiger's actual scoring average in 2000 was 68.17, more than a shot around better than Rory was last year. And for that period of time, 2005 to 2009, he was about a half a shot better than Rory was last year. So when people tell me that, you know, Rory, you know, for Tiger to come back, play the way he used to, he wouldn't intimidate these players, I giggle. If Tiger came back and played the way he used to, he would kick Rory's rear. He would beat everybody. You know, Rory is not as good as Tiger. Now, Rory's, you know, the average player, the great player, has not improved up to Tiger's level. So the gap between Rory, I mean, Rory's better than anybody else playing right now, but is he as good as Tiger Woods was? Not even close. Not even close. You know, I mean, you know, Jack Nicklaus, relative to his peers, was you know, maybe better than Tiger. But of the current crop, no, none of these players are close to what Tiger was, and certainly not Rory.
I agree with you, because I watch, although I marvel at more Rory's ability when it's on and Jordan Spieth's ability when it's on. Tiger didn't have the 6 months off and then have the 6 months. He was always on.
Always. Never missed a cut.
Yeah.
Four majors in a row. Win by 15, win by 8. Always. He won 34% of his events from 2005 to 2009. So, you know, when I talk about Tiger Woods, people think, you know, I get people who think I hate Tiger Woods because I speak so critically of his golf swing. I'm only speaking critically of his golf swing because I cannot believe somebody who had a golf swing that could decimate his competition by 15 shots, win four majors in a row, 142 cuts in a row, do things nobody's ever thought of in the game of golf, would willfully dismantle that. It's beyond me. So I'm pulling for Tiger to come back and play the type of golf that he did in the past, because I want to watch it selfishly.
Yes.
I want to see him do it again.
Yes.
You know, and if that means he came back and he was any semblance of the golfer he was from 2005 to 2009, and Rory was playing his best golf, then we would have what we never had with him and Phil Mickelson. We never had them going blow for blow in a major championship. Or, for that matter, you know, I mean, Tiger never finished runner-up to Phil, Vijay, Ernie, Padraig Harry. He never finished runner-up to any of them in a major. And, you know, I'd like to see them paired together in the final group going blow for blow. We don't get to stage those things like other sports, but the possibility's there if Tiger comes back.
It'll be interesting. I have to ask you, Adam Scott, when asked about the 2016 Olympics, said he thought it should be for amateurs and no professionals. What are your thoughts?
Well, long ago, the Olympics lost me. I mean, I still watch it, but, you know, it's just an extension of professional sports. So, you know, I think it's captivating. But, it, when I grew up, you know, it was ostensibly an amateur event. Now, I think that got muddled with what constituted an amateur in some East Eastern Bloc countries. And all of a sudden, it was like, wait a minute. You guys are essentially sending professionals because they're doing nothing but training all the time. And so the next thing you know, it's a professional competition. As it relates to golf, we already have the major championships. And they tell us, and we have world rankings that tell us who the best golfers in the world are. We know who the best golfers are in the world. And as it relates to the way the teams are going to be chosen, you could be 10th in the world in the United States and not make the team. You could be 15th in the world and not make the team. There could be 10 players from the United States in the top 50 and not make the team. So is it going to be the best players in the world? It'll be some of them. So, you know, the Ryder Cup, I mean, the Olympics, when you get there, it's just going to be what it is. It's going to be a competition with a different theme and a different trophy. And because you're playing for your country as an individual as opposed to a Ryder Cup, it will have that sort of appeal. So trust me, when Adam Scott gets there and he'll be there, he'll probably have a different opinion about it.
Yeah.
But it, you know, it's not going to tell us who the best golfer in the world is.
Yeah.
It's just we're going to get to see the best golfers in the world or some of the best golfers in the world compete as an individual for their country. And that pressure will be unique to golf.
Just
but it's not going to tell us who the best golfer is.
Yeah, just the we call it chicken skin in Hawaii, just the goosebumps that I get thinking about playing for my country would be enough to knock me off the first tee. You know, I'd be like, ah.
Right. Right. In the Ryder Cup, you do it, but you do it with 11 other players. This is just going to be you playing for your country. So, you know, on the last day, you know, the last few holes, we'll have never, you know, if Tiger makes it, Tiger's done everything at golf, but he's never played for himself, as far as I know. The World Cup is he and another partner, so this will be just for himself, for his country. And I think, you know, that'll be compelling TV. But it's not going to tell us who the best player in the world is, not by any stretch of the imagination.
On the Ryder Cup and the Ryder Cup Task Force,
mm-hmm.
Got together for 4 hours, I understand. Freddie Couples, there's lots of talk about whether he was contacted, whether they're thinking about him as captain. What's your take on all this?
Well, I know that Freddie was in the Phoenix area doing an outing. And, you know, Freddie's Freddie. You know, he shares his hand all the time. And just offhandedly, he said that he was the Ryder Cup captain. And then he started backpedaling, because there were 50 riders there. And, you know, he said, I've been this, and I've been the Ryder Cup captain. And everybody's like, hold on a second, what? You know, and then he backed up to say that he'd been contacted by them. So, you know, I've had conversations with some of the guys who are going to make those decisions, and it blows my mind that they would choose Freddie Couples to be the Ryder Cup captain. But that's if I were a betting man, I'd say that's as sure as bet as you can get in the game of golf. And I was led to believe a few years ago that Larry Nelson was going to be the captain for this go around. And, you know, long overdue, much deserved, just a horrible oversight in the game of golf, just as egregious an oversight as there is in the game of golf, but he hasn't been named captain. And, you know, people will say, well, because he's out of touch, look what happened with Tom Watson. And I laugh. I'm like, really, how did all those in-touch captains do for the last 15 years? How have they done? They've gotten obliterated, some of them by the widest margin of loss in the history of the Ryder Cup. So, you know, my bet is when they get to Minnesota, Fred Couples will be the captain.
Interesting. Always, it's such a pleasure talking with you, meeting you. Brandel Chambly, PGA Tour and Golf Channel. What is the name of your book that you're writing right now? Do you have a name yet?
Well, I haven't decided on a title yet, but essentially the theme of it is the commonality of the greatest players of all time. It'll be out within the next 6 months or so, probably.
Excellent.
I look forward to seeing Hawaii in
yes.
a couple of weeks. I look forward to meeting you.
Yeah, that would be great.
See you again there.
Yes.
Yeah. And thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Pleasure talking with you. I'll be following Tathagata golftejada.com and looking for your book and looking for you at the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Thanks for being
Thanks
on the
so
show.
Much.
We'll be back right after this.
We'll be right back to the best of the golf club. Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the golf club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
Alert Alarm of Hawaii provides CCT surveillance systems for both commercial and residential customers across Hawaii. These systems can be monitored via the internet from anywhere in the world on your laptop or smartphone. We can also monitor your video systems for you from our 24-hour local 5-Diamond Alarm Monitoring Center. Call Alert Alarm at 528-6407 for a free security evaluation and estimate. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, your Kama'aina video surveillance company. Security solutions for your peace of mind.
This is a Best of the Golf Club show. Don't call in if you hear a phone number or tee times. Danielle is on vacation and we'll be back next week. Now, the Best of the Golf Club.
We're going to talk now with John Strege. He's writer for Golf Digest Publications, author of 5 books, winner of the USJ International Book Award in 2015. He covered the MLB, NFL, the Olympics, boxing, and golf. Welcome to the show, John.
Danielle, thanks for having me again. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's fun talking with you. And there's a couple of things that have happened recently. A task force. Heavens to Murgatroyd. I say, do we really need a task force to figure out what's wrong with the Ryder Cup U.S. team?
I think it's ridiculous. And you know, it got ridiculed when they announced that they were going to do it. I mean, it was widespread ridicule. One of my favorites was my friend and colleague, Jim Moriarty, tweeted, is a camel a horse designed by a task force? But, you know, the Europeans, they have a small panel to decide the next cap, and now the U.S. has gone to a task force just to figure out what to do or how to go about electing a captain and what they need to do. It's just, you know, and where I come from is, you know, players just need to play better. But, you know, the U.S., the whole task force idea is not one that's been universally accepted.
Yeah, well, it's almost like, you know, we need a new czar for this, or, I don't know, we just have to name somebody who to be in charge of, because the agency that already does it isn't doing its job.
Right.
And the idea of having a task force, I understand that we maybe need to reevaluate, for instance, why the top players weren't on the team. You know, the best performing player at the moment who had just won the FedEx Cup and walked away with 2 trophies. Why
right.
wasn't he playing on the Ryder Cup team? Is it possible for the FedEx Cup winner to have enough time to arrange for himself to get to wherever the Ryder Cup is being played?
You know, of course they do. You know, they've taken all the measurements of guys that they think have a chance of making the Ryder Cup team, so whatever their clothing company that's equipping them or outfitting the teams, you know, it's a pretty simple process, I think. I think you got to go as late as you possibly can to get your hottest hand in there.
Yeah.
But still, again, that doesn't mean they're going to have a hot hand when they go to the Ryder Cup. It's just, it's both sides have great players. It's just a matter of who's playing better at that time.
When you watch the Ryder Cup, and you see the European team players and you watch the American team players, what do you see as the biggest difference?
Well, the European team players, I'm sure they know each other better. They hang out together. They seem to be having a lot more fun. And I haven't seen this addressed too much, but I often wonder, the better teams in the U.S. are playing not just the Ryder Cup every 2 years. They're playing the President's Cup in between. And I'm just wondering if there's a, you know, you're not quite as fired up as you should be. You want to make the Ryder Cup team, but when you're doing it every year, at the end of the season, you're tired, you know, and here you got to go overseas and You know, maybe it's tough to have your A game when you go, when you do it.
I agree with you completely. We've got the President's Cup U.S. team. We've got the Ryder Cup U.S. team. The U.S. team is usually the same U.S. team, you know,
right.
Basically, and they're always taking on fresh people, so to speak, who've waited 2 years before they have an opportunity to be a team. So I don't know, but by the same token, we have more practice playing as a team. So you'd think we'd be better at it.
Well, you would think so, but the Europeans have they have our number at this point, and you know, we'll leave it to the task force to,
yes,
to figure out what to do about it.
Yeah, we just need to play better, and
yes.
You know, that's the part where I was also wondering about the captain's picks. You know, I felt like there was some political pressure on Tom Watson to make certain choices. And I kept hearing the same names being said, for sure he's going to be in, and for sure he's going to be in. It's like, wait a minute, for sure he hasn't been playing that well. Why is he a for sure pick?
Yeah, you know, that's a problem, too. It's but, if, you know, from what I've read, though, on Webb Simpson, Tom Watson sort of changed his mind at the last minute to put Webb Simpson on there. So who knows what's going on, but whatever it is, you know, maybe Paul Eisinger had the, you know, he's the last to win the Ryder Cup, and he, you know, has this philosophy about how to pair the players. Maybe he's right, and but I do want to add, you know, there's been a movement towards making Nazinger the next Ryder Cup captain.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, why would he even want to do it? Because he can only lose. I mean, if he wins another one, fine, but if he goes in there and loses, it shoots his whole theory, you know, to pieces. So,
oops. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to walk away being the guy that lost after, you know, everybody hailed you as, you know, the big solver of the problem.
Correct, yeah.
John Strege. We'll be back right after this.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Poipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends.
When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
The all-new 2015 Acura TLX is a nearly indescribable thrill. To explain that thrill, we could have hired a proper documentarian.
The TLX stalks the hairpin turn. It waits with high-octane aggression. Let's watch as it devours the road with savage precision.
Or that voice from that movie trailer.
In a crowded luxury market, one sedan has what others only dream of. Sport Plus mode, 8-speed dual-clutch transmission, and plenty of cup holders.
Or even an enthusiastic play-by-play announcer.
And hitting cleanup, the TLX. Sport Plus mode's a huge advantage here. And, oh, there's a drive deep right field. Back. This car's out of here.
You could have tried all of these, but nothing comes close to experiencing the thrill of the TLX like driving it. Come in and test drive the all-new 2015 Acura TLX. It's that kind of thrill.
Be sure to come visit your Hawaii Acura dealers and check out their latest models, cutting-edge features, and amazing deals. Visit them today.
We're going to talk now with John Strege. I was reading some of your In the Loop columns, and it's fun. I was watching Patrick Reed and playing Volvo right over in Europe. It's match play. And for some reason, they make match play look more fun than the World Golf Champion Accenture did. I don't know why. Doesn't it?
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that, but that's a great point. The, you know, the Accenture just seemed to fall apart. I mean, maybe one of the reasons is you don't get eliminated right away, which apparently the PGA Tour or the World Golf Championship match play is going to a new system. But, yeah, they do look like they have more fun, and this event's been around forever, and you know, it's kind of a limited field. IMG runs it, but still, it does look like it's a lot more fun.
Yeah, and Patrick Reed was playing, and this is the headline, Missing Links. Patrick Reed's not bad guy at all, a refreshing presence. Of course, but when I saw him lose, his match, I almost, it was like his shoulders sunk, and he went, it was like, what happened? I was just in it. What happened? He's the kind of person that has so much confidence in himself, and you gotta love that. And I think he's really learned that you don't say it.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't. But you know, that didn't bother me. And what he said, I think it was the beginning of last year, where he proclaimed himself a top five player in the world,
yeah,
and then went out and didn't prove it. That's the downside, but you know, the guy's full of confidence, and he's fun to watch, and he was great to watch at the Ryder Cup, and he's actually turned, you know, the European fans are on his side now after shushing him in the Ryder Cup. It's been something to watch, and I, you know, whether he's a top five player or not, who knows? He's 23 years old and won three times, which is pretty good. We'll just have to wait and see, but he's obviously a good player, and he's going to be fun to have around.
He is. And I just, one other note on the Ryder Cup, if we can backtrack for a second. You know John Huggins' idea? No more wives, no more girlfriends?
Oh, that's great stuff. I don't know if you've had John Huggins on your show, but he's a beauty. He's opinionated. He's a Scot. Writes a lot for Golf Digest, the Golf World. And, yeah, he did that column on how, you know, I forget how many points, 10 points to the U.S. Ryder Cup team, and no wives and girlfriends, that was one of them.
Yeah, and you say they have no business being, you know, and I can't help but agree with him, because as soon as you add the, you know, the home element, the man is going to try to take care of woman, make sure she's okay. There's going to be that distraction. I think it's really, I've often wondered, why are the girls there? I mean,
you know, it's a good point that, okay, let's let them come, but keep them outside the ropes. I mean, there are way too many people inside the ropes at the Ryder Cup. I mean, it's gotten annoying.
Yeah, maybe we can solve all the problems.
Okay. Yeah.
The other thing that came up, and we're talking with John Strecke, he has written so many great books. One of them won the USJ International Award, International Book Award, When War Played Through, and fascinating, New York Times bestselling author pays tribute to the golfers who rallied for the Allied victory during World War II, shows how the greatest generation kept golf alive despite equipment shortages, bombings, and captivity. And I think some of the stories about when in captivity in POW camps, the guys would still be able to fashion something out of into a club and find something to be the ball. What a spirit!
It was great. And so, yeah, they made golf balls out of anything they could find. I think the Red Cross sent, you know, a couple different clubs. They'd have golf tournaments, but some of these golf balls have landed in like USGA museum that just stitched together from whatever they could find around the POW camps, and it sort of allowed many of them to, you know, maintain their sanity while they waited for the war to play out.
I wonder what it's like when you come back, you know, after being so together in this group of people captive. It creates such a bond. There must be a sense of missing something once you've been in that kind of, I don't say that they want to be there, but you still have this group think.
Yeah, I would guess there's a brotherhood connection there that probably lasts them the rest of their lives. Just those serving together, whether in a POW camp or not, I think that exists. And you see it, I mean, the World War II veterans are fewer and fewer each year, but when they do come together, it's a tearful reunion. There's no question there's a bond there.
Mm. So let's go to the World Golf Hall of Fame.
Yep.
We didn't have a 2014 class because it had to be fixed.
Yeah.
Now we have the four, Mark O'Meara and David Graham, Laura Davies and A.W. Tillinghast. They'll be inducted into the World Golf Hall of Fame in ceremonies in St. Andrews in Scotland. It's always been over in Florida, right? And tell us a little bit about the change.
Well, they moved it to the week of the tour or the Players Championship, so just up the road from Ponte Vedra Beach. And they did so. It was going to be at the beginning of the week. They wanted, you know, the players that are still playing that are in the Hall of Fame to come, you know, as they do in like the Baseball Hall of Fame ceremony every year. All these old timers, Hall of Famers show up, but it wasn't happening. So that contributed to why they changed it. It wasn't working the way it was done. And the idea of going to St. Andrews is a pretty good one.
I think so, too. They're going to...
In 2015, no less, yeah.
Yeah, in 2015. Won't we be playing an Open at St. Andrews next year in 2015?
That's correct.
Yes.
Yep.
So it's like perfect timing. And then I think in the next year, they'll follow through with having the event here. Do you think the selection was... They changed who could vote on...
Yeah, they did. They've got I think it's a 16-person panel, correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the leading lights in golf history.
Arnold Palmer, Nancy Lopez, Gary Player, Annika Sorenstam, all part of the panel?
Correct, yeah. It's a pretty prestigious panel. And, you know, I'm thinking they're thinking these guys are, well, I don't know what their thinking was. Maybe better connected to the history of the game than, you know, where it used to be golf writers would vote on it, among others. But, you know, I think one of the reasons they had to change, or they decided to change, was I just think they lowered the bar too far. I think, and everybody loves Fred Couples, so I don't mean this is a knock against him, but I think he had 15 PGA Tour victories and one major. You know, once he's in, you've lowered the bar, and you got to include a lot of other guys. I mean, Mark O'Meara has a better record than Fred Couples. Why wasn't he in before Fred?
Mm-hmm.
O'Meara had more PGA Tour victories.
And two major champions.
Two major champions,
right.
And a U.S. amateur.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, interesting. Are you working on another book? We have a couple minutes left in the show. You have the last word, sir.
Well, thank you. I'm working on a proposal because I've been working on it 3 years, so you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself by announcing what it is.
Okay.
but we're close to being done with the proposal, so let's leave it at that.
Well, for all the struggling writers in the world, it's good to know that just because they haven't gotten any further than, you know, they are, wherever that may be, you know, that's great. And one question. Your Tiger Woods, a biography, was made into a Showtime movie. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that's correct. In 1998, LeVar Burton from Roots fame was the director of it. You know, I don't mean to pump up my book, but, you know, as they say, the movies are never as good as the book. This one really, it wasn't very well done. They kind of did it in a hurry. But and so didn't you can still, I think, get it on Amazon.com, but it didn't do very well.
We should just get the book, Tiger Woods,
yes.
The biography. There you
That's
go.
That's right.
There
now
you go.
You're talking.
There's also Tiptoeing Through Hell. That's playing U.S. Opens.
Yeah, I love doing that book. It's just, you know, on the difficulty of the U.S. Open setups, there were so many anecdotes, you know, about it over the years. That was a fun one to do.
Fabulous. And it's always fun talking with you. John Strege, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Danielle. Anytime. It's my pleasure.
Awesome. I want to thank the people who make the show possible. Star Protection for property threat and risk assessment. They bring somebody on your property, check out your vulnerabilities, and then they put the protection for your home or your business or a concert that you're putting on or a special event. You get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California. Creative Plumbing. Whether a building, a shopping center, a small single-family home, or a gigantic high-rise complex, whatever it may be, if plumbing's involved, Creative Plumbing. It's got to be done right, so call Creative Plumbing. Still looks pretty good out there. Doesn't look like it's getting to be too wet. Just staying offshore. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes. It's a beautiful golf course. Robert Trent Jones designed, and of course it's on the south shore of Kauai. It is absolutely gorgeous. Alert Alarm Hawaii, protecting commercial and residential customers across Hawaii since 1962, providing security solutions for your peace of mind. That's Alert Alarm Hawaii. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2015.